Blog Talk Radio.
Bringing you excellent entertainment from the king of DC media. Here's the Inside Acting Radio Show.
Inside Acting Radio Show. I am your gracious host, the WTP, the KBOC, that's King of DC Media, William Powell, living large and in charge on their radio show, internationally known, nationally respected, and locally appreciated. This episode is brought to you by DC Actors Examiner, where you'll find my excellent articles about acting. Go to DC Actors Examiner by Googling DC Actors Examiner and click and subscribe. Tonight's guest is actor supreme Daniel Ross, who has recently moved to L.A. and starred in the Ninjas vs. trilogy. Next week's guest will be self-help author and actor and Marine Kevin Tiggetts, who will talk about his new book. It's actually a self-help book. It's excellent. It's called Stop Your Effin' Whining. It's a great book, and I've read it, and you should read it, too. That's in order, as the Marines say, hoorah! The week after that, my guest will be Dion Ardain and Sheila Cutswell. They're going to be talking about the book, The Mid-Atlantic Talent Guide. And on Thursday, July 3rd, I will have on from AMC TV's show about the Revolutionary War turn, actor Wesley Ingley and Ben Franklin impersonator Barry Stevens. It will be a great Independence Day show for sure. It will be revolutionary. Hey, by the way, folks, you should be following me. Follow me on Twitter. The handle there is Inside Under Bar Acting, capital I, capital A. That's Inside Under Bar Acting. Or Twitter handle, Will Underbar Powell, that's capital W, capital P, or Facebook. The handle there at Facebook is William.T.Powell, that's T-O-W-E-L-L. But now, we're going to bring in Daniel Ross, who has recently relocated from the DMV area, that's District, Maryland, and Virginia, to sunny and wonderful L.A. Now, Daniel has played in the urban thriller All in the Game, the comic book film Sparks, and also Lovely Molly, which was directed by Eduardo Sanchez. So, please welcome Daniel Ross.
Woo! What's up,
hey,
Mr. Powell?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm absolutely fantastic. So, man, tell me, what's hot?
Oh, my goodness. I have some great news to share right off the bat. I'm so excited right now because the Indiegogo campaign for ZCon, my upcoming film ZCon, just successfully finished at 110% of its goal of 20,000. So I just wanted to take a second and thank everybody who shared, talked about it, donated some time and or money. It is greatly appreciated. We're going to get started on production, I believe, next month. So I'm going to be coming back to the D.C. area just for this one project. And because it's for charity, I'm so excited about it. I get to also state as an exclusive to your show that I'm going to be playing a character named Gordon Hansen, who in this wonderful story is a very condescending, narcissistic former child star who goes to conventions as a guest and has an interesting role in this incredible film. So not far from who I am, I guess. But I'm so excited about it. I wanted to take a second and just mention that. So congratulations, Mike Dougherty. And the rest of the ZCon team, I can't wait, and I can't wait for you guys to see this movie.
Real talk. Yeah, I'm going to have Mr. Dougherty on the show. That sounds like a very interesting project.
Fantastic. It is, and you know what? It's for a good cause. It's for charity. All the money raised from the making of this film is going to go to some specific charities. Kids Need to Read is a really big one, as well as the American Red Cross and others. But I'll let Mike talk about that when he's a guest on your show. But just know I am super stoked and super excited and thankful that has finally happened. So, woo! Go ZCon!
Now, before we go any further, man, you've got to tell me about your first earthquake experience out there in L.A. How was that?
Oh, you know what? It was a paltry little tiny earthquake. I was laying in my bed dozing off, and I felt this rumbling, and I got goosebumps. And I'm like, huh, that's an interesting sensation. And I go on Facebook, and, of course, everyone's like, oh, felt that one. There's a tremor. Oh, got it. And it was like, huh, cool, an earthquake.
Wow.
So that was my experience. It was very uneventful.
Oh, okay. Unlike around here in D.C., we had one about 3 years ago, and people are still talking about
it. I remember that one.
Everybody remembers it.
I remember it because, again, I was in bed, and I was sleeping, and it was the night that the movie Inception was coming out. And I remember seeing all the promotions on TV and everything else, and I kind of woke up half asleep to hear this rumbly noise. And for some reason in my head, I was like, oh, it's a promotion for Inception. Oh, Christopher Nolan. You know, I just went right back to sleep. So, yeah, no, that's my first L.A. earthquake, and I guess I've seen it from both coasts.
Well, I guess if you stay awake, maybe you'll reduce the number of earthquakes in your life. I don't know.
You know, if I didn't work so hard, maybe I wouldn't have to sleep as much.
Now, the word on the street is that you've been cast in a new series since you've been out there. So tell me about that.
Yes. Well, first of all, I want to know who's talking about me on the street. And which particular street?
I need to know.
I'm going to send some of my boys out to have a conversation.
Okay.
Well, yeah, there is a really, really exciting thing that's happening right now. There is a series, a book series called Enoch the Traveler by Lady Soliloquy. And this came out around the new year. Lady has a huge fan base from some of her prior writings, and Enoch the Traveler is her first really big published book. And I was invited down to North Carolina on my way out to L.A. because I took the drive cross country. And I went down to North Carolina, and I met with Lady and her team and was really, really excited at the idea of, you know, being a part of this project. It's a sci-fi series. With some biblical overtones, but very squarely based in science, and it's absolutely fascinating. I think fans of Doctor Who are really going to be able to latch onto this. It has a similar feel while being its own unique thing, and we're really excited too because Gareth David Lloyd, who played Ianto in both Torchwood and Doctor Who, is going to be playing the lead character Enoch. So really, really excited about that, and I'm really even more excited that I get to play the big bad villain of the series. This is going to be a TV miniseries on cable. As to where specifically, I'm under non-disclosure. I can't talk about it just yet, but it should be coming out next year. So I'm super, super stoked about this. And if you haven't seen it, please go buy the book, Enoch the Traveler. It's available in bookstores, online, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all over the place. So please do go check it out. It is awesome.
Yeah, it sounds interesting. It could be, who knows, the next Game of Thrones type deal. It could be go on for years and years.
That would be great as long as Lady doesn't pull a George Martin and start killing everybody off. I don't want to be killed off. I want to work.
Yeah, this is all you do. Nothing's worse than the boy king. So, wow, if you're that bad, I don't know if you can you'll be around long.
Off with your head, sir.
Okay, so we're going to see if we can take a call here. See, the switchboards are lighting up. So we've got a number here. Let's see.
You mean people actually called in? They wanted to talk to me?
Yeah, they actually want to talk to you. So
let's do it.
You recognize the 498?
I do not, but let's go for it.
Okay, let's see who's calling. I don't have a producer here, so let's see who this is. Okay, number 498, I'm going to bring you on the air. Let's see if this will work. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, am I 498?
Yeah, you're 498.
Hi.
That's a familiar voice.
How are you, William? How are you, Daniel? It's Justin Timpain.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, what's going on?
The man, the legend, Justin Timpain, my
That's
partner.
That's right. Hey, Justin. Yeah.
Look, I just wanted to call in and say I'm so excited that you've got my best pal in the whole world there on your show right now. I'm really, really stoked to hear.
I am on his show. I am in his show.
You are the show, sir.
Right, yeah. So we might as well skip forward a little bit in the order of things here. I think you guys have a project. Of course, you did the Ninjas Versus trilogy together, but I think you got some project coming up, right?
Yeah, there's two projects, and I'll let Justin jump in. We've got Trek Off the Motion Picture, which is a funumentary about the podcast that Justin and Alexia have, and we also have, of course, Ninjas Versus Monsters, which has been in development for a very long time. It's been finished, ready to go, and we're so close to a deal. I can just taste it. I can taste you watching it. there you go, Justin. Good segue.
I'm excited. We just talked about this a couple weeks ago on your show, so I don't want to take too much time for it. But we didn't talk about how Daniel is in Trek Off quite a lot. There's one scene in particular. There are two scenes. One where he hosts. He actually plays MC to a Star Trek themed burlesque show. He may or may not end up shirtless with cinnamon buns on his nipples in that sequence.
I may or may not.
And then there's a waxing scene.
Justin, you're supposed to be incentivizing people to watch this, not turning them away.
I can't get that image out of my head.
Daniel's right. We've got a project in the past, Ninjas Versus Monsters, that is very close to fruition. A project in the present that is Trek Off, and dare I say that just moments before he called in your show, I was on the phone privately with Daniel as we are discussing what looks really likely to become a project in the future. I won't say anything about that because I won't. Suffice to say that wheels are turning, and when Ross and I get together, we can't be stopped.
That's right.
So some interesting shenanigans afoot. And I think it's fair to say that, Justin and I throw around ideas all the time, mostly Justin, because he's got some interesting things that happen in his brain. It's one of those brains that just weird things happen. So this is one of those things that just kind of has come out, and we're both kind of excited about an idea, and we're curious, and we're talking about it, and we'll be fleshing it out over a little bit of time, and, maybe see if this is what follows Ninjas. So we'll keep you posted.
I'm going to let you go and do your interviews and talk to everyone else, but I do want to say along with you in solidarity with Mike Doherty, congratulations so much on ZCon and Enoch the Traveler and the other things you have coming up. Anyone who's listening should go check out Daniel Ross on Facebook. There's so much going on with you. So I'm so proud of you, buddy, and have a good interview.
Thanks, Justin.
Okay, thanks for calling, Justin.
Bye-bye.
All right, good night.
So now we know in the future who 498 is so that we can block that call.
Let's move on to...
Next on the line, we have my mother.
Oh, okay.
I love you, Justin.
I figured you'd know. Okay, Fabio. I don't know if you youngsters out there even remember who that is. A famous guy who used to be on romance covers and all this stuff. The guy, he has the long hair and the he's. I don't know why they have to cast him on. Yeah, you met him on a plane.
I'm guessing you follow my Facebook feed. yes, as I was returning from a fantastic convention appearance in Atlanta at Timegate for Enoch the Traveler, I had the absolute pleasure of sitting directly next to Mr. Fabio himself, man of the Old Spice commercials, and I can't believe it's not butter. And, we had small talk for the duration of the flight, and it's one of those things, like, you know, of course, I have respect for anybody in the industry who has had some success, and Fabio certainly has had success over the course of his lifetime, but it's one of those things you never anticipate actually meeting or talking to that person, and in retrospect, it's just kind of funny. I met Fabio.
Wow.
Yeah, that's that. I don't think there's anything more exciting about that topic, though.
Oh, okay.
His hair was
okay.
Nice.
Okay, that's good. Sounds like a nice guy. Okay, and what other interesting characters have you met out there?
Oh, my goodness. interesting characters is an understatement. I'm in Hollywood, and let me tell you something. I'm really grateful that I've had the opportunity to come out here because not only am I, you know, shoring up all the connections that I've networked over the years to have, I'm meeting my idols, I'm meeting my idols' idols, I'm in the thick of it, and, you know, I came out here specifically with a plan to focus on voiceover work, and I got to tell you, it's so amazing. Voiceover people in general are some of the nicest people you will ever come across, and also some of the most talkative and creatively crazy people. You know, if you can have a conversation with somebody and it's all different kinds of voices, that's awesome. But I'd be remiss if I didn't point out, my friend and mentor, David Sobolov, who I've known for many, many years, finally, you know, able to hang out with him on a semi-regular basis. And I took a workshop with the incredibly talented Debbie Derryberry, who has absolutely, you know, become a mentor and a friend. And, you know, I'm surrounded by these people that I admire so much. And I couldn't be more thankful for the opportunity to be able to do it. I hope to meet more people. I hope to network more. And hopefully, you know, make some cool things happen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, let's see if we can take some more calls here. I see our good friend, Mr. Mitch Marvel, who's almost becoming
Mr.
a
Mitch
regular
Marvel.
On the show. Yeah, he's calling in, so let me see if I can bring him on in right quick. Hey, Mitch.
William Powell, King of DC Media.
Mr. Marvel.
In the flesh, yes. That is I.
what Daniel Ross is saying about voiceover people is partly correct, because a lot of them are really good people, but you get a lot of jerks in there, too. Specifically, I heard, this is a rumor, that in the Transformers series, the guy who did Starscream, biggest jerk.
Oh, yeah, the guy from the video games? Oh, my God. I hate him.
I don't know if it's true or not. Yeah, I heard it on TMZ.
Here's the thing, though, Mitch.
Yeah, you got to watch what you hear on TMZ.
The guy who plays Starscream in the video games, he's incredibly good-looking, and he smells really nice and single, from what I hear. But, yeah, total douche. Total douche. I don't like him.
I hope this is a guy you know and you're just choking.
Yeah, it's me. We're talking
okay.
about
right. Yeah, you got it. It's a small world we live in. It's a small world we live in. Huh?
TMZ is as reliable as anything I read on Facebook, and you know how reliable those are.
Okay.
Hey, the world is waiting to know, Daniel Ross. What's the deal with the bird?
What's the deal with the bird? My mother has a pet, a Malaccan cockatoo, that I miss terribly. Her name is Tiki. And Tiki is such a sweetie pie, and I used to play fetch with her on the kitchen floor, and she says hello, and she's a sweetie, and I miss her. That's the deal with the bird.
You know how people, you know, you cry at the end of Old Yeller? That's what it was worse than that when Daniel had to leave to go cross country and leave Tiki at home.
It was terrible. It was terrible. Look, I you know what? Tiki is a pet, and I love her to pieces. But I tell you what, I miss even more, Mitch, is my family and my friends. I miss my friends tremendously. You included, sir. And you know what? I hope I do you guys proud while I'm out here. So
hey, all you
got to
do is send plane tickets. Just send plane tickets and we're all out there.
Don't forget
us. I can be in a position where I can put you all on a private jet and get you out here and just party whenever.
I'll take you up on an offer.
I'll see if I can do that in between payments for my my personal tiger.
Oh, wow. Wow. That sounds like a plan. Okay, Mitch. Hey, well, thanks for listening and for calling.
Hey, no problem. I know other people are waiting to call, so or waiting to
Mitch
talk.
Mitch freaking Marvel, everybody. Mitch freaking Marvel.
That's right. Yeah, super fan. Hey. All right. All right.
Peace out.
All right now. Okay. So, Daniel, I know you got a lot of hot projects. So, talk a little bit more about some of the hot projects you got coming up.
Oh my goodness. Well. Geez, let me just break out my notepad here. There are so many things that you know have been in development for a while that I've been working on, and I guess I should start with Dracul, the series Dracul being filmed by MCM Films, Mike Marino and Charles Young. This is a cool political vampire thriller that I had the fantastic experience of working on. I play on screen and as a voiceover character. I play the voice of the lead bad guy for the first episode, and I play a news investigative reporter towards the end of it. That actually just finished screening at the Hoboken International Film Festival, I believe yesterday. So hopefully we'll be winning some awards and continuing work on the series. Outside of that, like I mentioned, Z-Con, Trek Off, Ninjas vs. Monsters, Enoch the Traveler, and then in post-production, I also have a movie called, and there's some profanity here, so children, if you're listening, turn the other way, and or parents, earmuffs. The name of the title is You're Fucking Dead, and this is being directed by Jay Spence. And produced by Corey Williams of Golden Tiger Productions. It is currently in post-production, hopefully for, I believe, a fall or winter release. It's a feature film. I don't have any details of where it's going, but all I know is it stars some amazing talent. Ali Lakowski, Sam Lakowski, Lion Beckwith, Jasmine Guillermo, so many people. Forgive me if I forget your name or don't mention it. This project looks incredible, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Trailers are out.
Okay, I think we just lost Daniel. I don't know what happened there. So let me see if I can bring him back in. I'll have him dial in. All right. Hold on, folks. I don't know what happened there. Okay. We got this old East German equipment here, folks, so just hang on. Let me see if I can bring them back in. This interview was really getting good, too. Okay, I see him. He's rejoined us. Here we go.
Hey,
Daniel, you're back. Yeah, you had
so much awesome happening. The call couldn't take it.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even know what the last thing you heard was.
Yeah, you just dropped off there. You were just in the middle of talking all your projects. You were talking about Allie Wachowski and all the great talent on Corey
Dan
Williams.
Wachowski,
yeah,
Ryan Beck with Jasmine
right.
Guillermo.
Yeah.
This is going to be such a fantastic
project. Yeah, Corey
project.
Was on the show last
really
week.
Excited for it.
Oh, yeah.
What's that?
Yeah, Badass Assassins, Corey was on the show last week.
Yeah, I listened to that, and you know what? He's got some cool stuff coming up as well. So,
I think the
community is staying busy, and I guess the last thing that I'll plug here is a film called The Battle of Ripcord, which I'm really...
We're breaking up here a little bit. Uh-oh, we lost him again. Uh-oh, The Battle of Ripcord, okay, so... We'll just wait for a second here as he calls. So let's play some music for a little bit here. A little bit of MJ until he comes back. There he is. I see him back on the switchboard again. Okay. Man, I want to tell you about those cheap cell phones, man. Hey.
You know, it must be just like solar flares or fog.
Hope it's not an earthquake.
Here in LA. No. I was right in the middle of talking about the Battle of Ripcord, This is a film based on the Battle of Ripcord, which was the last big fight of Vietnam. So I'm really excited about this project, headed up by Shannon Lanier of Dark Ronin Films. I'm going to get a chance to play somebody who's actually alive, which is a first, you know, for my career. And something in the war genre is something I've always wanted to do. So I'm really, really excited about this. I wish I could share more information on it. Bring up the word NDA again, but I'll be playing somebody who exists that I can talk to and emulate, and I'm really excited about that. So that's kind of everything on the plate for me right now.
Fantastic. Okay, I'm gonna put your memory to the test again with one of these phone numbers here.
Okay.
We've got somebody on the line, 277.
No idea. Let's do it.
240-277. Okay, 277, get ready. You're going to be on the air in about 3 seconds. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hello. It's Steve Backus.
Steve Backus. Steve.
Yes.
What's up, man?
Yes, sir. Hello, William. Hello, Daniel. How's everybody?
Good, man. We're fantastic.
Except for the fact that my call keeps dropping.
I know. I heard a little MJ in there, filling the gap where, the satellite came crashing down to Earth or something.
this is where crickets would be really useful.
William, can you get a sound effect of crickets, just for those gaps? That'd be great.
I need to bring that in.
I'm just calling to wish you well and congratulations on everything you're doing. And I mean, we're all really proud of you and really proud that you lost your earthquake virginity over there in LA. You know, I mean, a DC earthquakes don't count. You know,
Stephen Backus, everybody, childhood friend of mine. We went to school together and have had the privilege of doing a couple films together and other such things. Steve is an accomplished theater actor and someone who I absolutely love to pieces and miss as one of my aforementioned friends of many that I've left behind.
Oh, stop! This is your show. Come on.
Hey, you called in to say hi, so I gotta pay respect where it's due.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. And I want you to know I'm kicking 34's ass for you, just so you know it kicks back, you know.
Do it. Do it.
You go out there and you kick LA's ass for me.
I will kiss it, then kick it.
Awesome, awesome. Well, best wishes, break legs, take care, love you, man.
Thanks, Steve. Take it easy, man.
Okay, man, Steve. Thanks for calling in, man.
Thank you, William.
All right. Bye-bye. Okay, so let's move on to Sparks. Man, how did you get Sparks?
Sparks. Oh, my goodness. What a fun project. Well, Sparks, it's directed by Chris Foligno, who I've known for many years. One of my first big L.A. experiences was coming out for E3, the Electronic Entertainment Expo, in 2006. And it was Christopher Foligno who actually got me my ticket to go in, where I met so many people and got to interact with Activision, where, you know, I got the role for Transformers. So Chris has been a long-standing friend of mine and a real powerhouse in the entertainment industry. His company produces commercials, and, you know, this is, I believe, his second feature film. His first one, I think, was Gamers. And let me tell you something. What this guy did on a budget and with time constraints is just – it's astounding. He compiled an incredible cast, including Clancy Brown and Clint Howard, William Catt, Ashley Bell, so many amazing people, and, you know, was kind enough to ask me if I wanted to be in on it. At the time, I wasn't here in L.A., so, you know, it wasn't conducive for me to be able to do something on screen, but he invited me to do some really important voiceover for the film, and it was really, really exciting, and it's doing really well. People seem to really like it. It's a superhero noir film for people who don't know about it. There's a whole comic book series, a graphic novel, and I can't see anything but success coming from this project, and hopefully a sequel. So we'll see, and if there is one, then, you know, maybe Chris will be kind enough to let me in it.
Oh, yeah, I saw it. It was a fantastic film, very inventive, very good use of special effects, and a good storyline, too. But kind of put me in mind of the Watchmen a little bit.
Yeah, it's very reminiscent of Watchmen, Sin City. It's got that really creative look to it, which, you know, again, considering it was a film on a tight budget with a tight schedule, I'm absolutely amazed at the quality that Chris and his team was able to put out at Sideshow Productions. Such an incredibly talented group of people, and I hope I can work with them again.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, let's see. So now, what advice would you give to actors moving out to L.A.?
Brace yourselves. L.A. is its own beast. It is its own entity, and it's a very different vibe out here than, you know, what I'm used to. I'm getting along just fine. It's a place just like any other. But, you know, you need to be prepared not only for relocation and you know, all the logistical things that go with that, but, you know, also bracing yourself for probably the most excruciating amount of rejection that you will face in your life. You know, this is where it all is. This is where everybody goes unless you're, you know, going to New York or elsewhere. But this is the hub. This is where you go if you're aspiring to greatness. And, you know, for me, my own personal choice to come out here, you know, I sacrificed a lot to do that. I like I mentioned before, family, friends, a career in film production. You know, Justin and I have done a lot of great things with Enlight Entertainment, and I've had the privilege of being involved in so many great productions. And, you know, I moved away from all that. I moved away from all those opportunities that I created for myself in the hopes that all the networking that I've done over the past decade and all the experience that I've gained will help me and give me an edge and advantage that, you know, maybe somebody wouldn't have. So you know, that's really what L.A. is all about. It's bracing yourself for a brand-new experience. and you know, preparing yourself for some of the hardest work that you will ever face. It is an uphill battle, and you need to be able and willing to meet that challenge, and you know, financially be stable, because there are costs out here. You got to take workshops. You've got to reproduce your headshots, get comp cards, get business cards. I still need to update my own website, but I, you know, that's another cost involved in things. If you're a union member, you got to maintain your union dues. You know, and again, just networking, you know, going to see shows, you know, making friends and, you know, doing things that they would like to do and, you know, getting the exposure that you need so people, you know, have your name on the tip of their tongue. It's very involved and it's quite difficult, but I'll tell you something, I'm loving it so far. I think all the things that I've done to prepare myself for this time is just, it's what I needed to do, and I feel like I'm where I need to be. So I'm super excited about this new chapter of my life.
What are some ways that soap business is different in L.A. as opposed to D.C.?
You know, in D.C., it's a lot of creative people who want to do something bigger than themselves. And the vibe in D.C., you know, in Maryland, the whole DMV area is the creative upstart. These are the people who have the ideas and maybe don't necessarily have the means but are going to find a way to do it no matter what. Really creative, inspiring people come out of D.C. And in L.A., you have the same thing, but it's on such a bigger scale. I mean, this is where all the creative people go. Like, for me, out in the D.C. area, I would get excited if I saw any type of film production, you know, out on a corner somewhere. Maybe somebody's got a little DSLR and they're filming with a light or two. And I would always get excited about that. And one of the first things when I came out here, you know, I went to go get some food, was a major production filming on the corner, you know, and you know, blocking traffic and doing this. And it was just kind of like, oh, you know, another day in the life. So it's commonplace out here. All those little magical moments in the DMV, it's here all the time. You are living in it 24/7, and there's so much exposure to it. It's really incredible. But I couldn't be happier to be doing that. So very, very succinct difference. Bigger scale, lots of people, lots of competition. It's fun. To me, it's fun.
Now, why didn't you make the jump to New York?
To New York. You know, I love New York. I love, you know, all my acting friends from New York. I always got the feel that New York was more closely tied to theater, commercial, soap opera, you know, those kinds of things. And as much as I, you know, love visiting New York, it just wasn't the city for me. I wasn't really open to New York's vibe, and that's just a personal choice. I really like the way L.A. feels. The weather is nice. it's a very different feel. It's a very, very different feel from New York to L.A., and I always felt more comfortable visiting L.A. As opposed to New York, and I think the work is different out here.
Yeah, and, you know, there's a kind of a prejudice that say that I've heard somebody say that out west, everybody's a friend, but they're like, and those same people in the east, maybe you call them acquaintances. Like, you know, people have longer, deeper relationships. Well, I'll put it this way. Everybody, it seems like everybody's more chummy at first out there. Do you think people are a little bit more gregarious when you first meet them out there in L.A. as opposed to the East Coast?
You know, I'm the type of person, I love meeting new people. I love the art of networking. I think, you know, obviously in the DMV, people are really hungry for opportunities. But there is a slightly different work ethic. So people's approaches are different when you meet new people. Out here, you are in the entertainment industry. Pretty much everybody you meet is in some facet of the entertainment industry. So you know, people are wise to the fact that, you know, an introduction is also a business introduction. You know, personally, I always try to approach people as a friend. I don't ever have an ulterior motive when I go to somebody or I want to have a conversation. I genuinely want to get to know the person and see what they're all about. You know, later on I can make the distinction if, you know, they're a good person to be in my life or not, you know, or if they'd be someone that, you know, maybe I should follow up with, or, you know, something along that nature. But I really try to take the approach of being as nice to as many people as I can be, and hopefully, you know, you build up good karma points and they come back to you.
Absolutely, absolutely. You've done video game voiceovers. Now, how did you get those gigs? Everybody and his uncle wants to do that.
You know, video game work is one facet of voice acting that I absolutely love. It's a very difficult job, not only because, you know, you have to act. You have to act to the spec of what the game is and what the director wants. So sometimes, you know, you want to give such a nuanced performance and you got to get through your lines. You got to get through your word count. And then you have to go right into screaming or dying in multiple different fashions. So you are now being impaled from the left. You are being decapitated from the right, and a boulder is crushing you, over your head. And all these different descriptors, and you think about it, and you're like, well, I've never experienced that. So how do I make that sound real? And that's really the biggest challenge I see with video game work. You know, some of my other credits, I worked on Transformers, the game back in 2007. As Starscream, Hound, and Mixmaster for any Transformers fans out there. That was a huge monumental thing for me. I've worked on games like Runaway 2, Dream of the Turtle, as well as Dungeons & Dragons, Neverwinter, and a few others. But those are the big ones, and, you know, they've just been a lot of fun. They've been a lot of fun. It's absolutely work. You punch in and do your lines and scream a little bit, and then you're done. And hopefully, you know, people enjoy it afterwards. But breaking into video games is difficult. There's no one avenue to get to it. So you just kind of have to, again, network with people that are involved in video games. I know out in D.C., Bethesda Softworks is out there. In fact, I think one of the people that works there is another Daniel Ross. So, you know, seek out people from you know, the video games in the industry that you admire, and network with them and talk to them, and sooner or later you will find exactly where you need to go to get what you want. So video games, a lot of fun, a lot of work, and if you're interested in getting into them, definitely, it's a lot of fun. And it's really cool.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, I think I read somewhere that the video game industry is, I think they make more, they gross more than the box office now. It's insane how many video games they have out there and how popular they've become.
Well, I think the medium has changed. From the days of, I still remember getting my first Nintendo and being wowed at the graphics. When I played, you know, Mario Brothers for the first time, you know, after playing Pong and you know, things like that. So the medium has changed. They are their own cinematic universes. They're their own movies. And it's no surprise that a lot of video games now get turned into movies, because it's almost synonymous at this point. You know, the voice actors and the performers that do mocap and other such things, they are performers like any other. You know, they take on a unique role, and sometimes they even have their own visage used in the video game. They have their face implanted on the character, and they are acting. They are actually acting, much like Andy Serkis in Lord of the Rings as Gollum. It's a whole new medium. It's a new experience, and I think video games just they keep growing with people's demand for, you know, bigger, badder entertainment.
Oh, yeah. All right, we're going to go back down memory lane a little bit to a few years ago, back to Lovely Molly. Lovely Molly.
Lovely Molly.
Your character in that movie.
Lovely Molly. This was a really big film, in my opinion, from director Eduardo Sanchez, a good friend of mine, executive producer on Ninjas vs. Monsters, and, of course, the director of the Blair Witch Project, who can forget. This was one of those rare opportunities where, you know, Ed had seen the Ninjas movies and said, yeah, man, you're really good. I like what you do. You want to come be in my movie? And I'm like, yes, I do. So, you know, he invited me on, and I had an opportunity to play the annoying camera guy at the beginning of the movie at this wedding. And it was fun. We spent a full day, you know, having laughs and improvising and, you know, spending time with some really, really talented people. And I think the finished product is really something that quite frankly, put Ed back on the map. You know, after so many years with, you know, Blair Witch, he had some great other films. You know, this particular one, I think, really got everybody's attention. And he's got another one coming out called Exists, which is a found footage Bigfoot film. I've seen the rough cut of this film, and it is intense. It is really intense. And, you know, I think, you know, at the thought of a Bigfoot movie, you know, people tend to chuckle a little bit, but it takes a master like Ed Sanchez to be able to make it really scary and terrifying. So I'm excited for people to see it. I'm not involved with that one, but it's really cool, and it was such a cool experience working with Ed you know, maintaining a friendship with the guy. We still talk.
Yeah. He's been on the show at least one time. He's talked about Exist. And, yeah, that sounds intense. That's looking forward
to
that.
It really is,
so,
and I hope when it comes out, everybody will check it out.
I do, too. Yeah, that's going to be a good one. Just like this is a hell of a name, Nicky Caprici. Nicky Caprici. Tell me about him back in
Nicky
All in the
Caprici.
Game.
Nicky Caprici.
Yeah.
I had a fun role in this movie called All in the Game, directed by Gary Ugarit. And this project was only supposed to be a segue. It was like a practice run before we worked on a movie called Deadlands 3, which was a big zombie apocalypse movie. And it just turned out that the vibe and the energy that the cast and the team had was big enough that Gary was like, screw it, let's just make this a full-length feature. And lo and behold, All in the Game, also known as Thug Life, was born. And, you know, I had such a great cast to work off of. Another DC actor, Chris Clanton, is out here in L.A. From All in the Game. Dominique Spencer and so many other guys that I had the privilege of working with. And it was a fun little film. And I think it's available online.
Yeah, I saw it. It was all black and white. It was, like I say, a lot of, it was like a who's who of all the DMV talent was in that picture. And sort of the film.
Yeah, it was a gritty little, you know, Baltimore. You know, almost felt like The Wire. It was a really gritty, you know, gangster film.
Yeah.
I thought really well done, you know, for what it was. Again, a low budget feature. That was elevated by the performances that was in it and by a director who really wanted to have fun. So I got to play the son of the Italian mob boss who gets kidnapped for ransom. And things go in a very interesting direction. I won't spoil it.
Yeah, it was, You mentioned... The Wire. Now that's going back for you, like, God, 10, 11 years ago now. So
that's old school, man.
Yeah, that's old school. That's all they used to talk about, The Wire. Everybody was on The Wire. So you did.
It was one of those projects that really helped define the area for a while. It was bread and butter for a lot of actors. And a lot of us were really sad when it ended, but, you know, it was a great show. It ran its run, and, you know, it was really fun to work on it. And, you know, I'm proud of the fact that I was able to get a chance to do that while my career was still starting. You know, just to be on set and be in awe of everybody and meet Idris Elba and, you know, all these other great people that worked on it. It was such a cool experience starting out as an actor to have a chance to mingle, you know, and see it in action and to say, you know, now in hindsight, hey, I did that, and that was cool.
Yeah, yeah. And you say you mingle, but I would imagine that you learn the process. I mean, like the process of filmmaking.
You know, for The Wire, I was primarily an extra.
There was
one or two instances where I was a stand-in as well. But, you know, when you're an extra, you are the motto is hurry up and wait. You're shuttled to the set. You do what you do or you don't, and you're shuttled right back to holding. So there's not much that you can really glean, in my opinion, by being an extra. But, you know, other experiences, I worked on Ladder 49, as a stand-in for Joaquin Phoenix and Jay Hernandez, and I got to work on that for a couple months. So literally my lifestyle was go to work in the morning, go to Baltimore, stay overnight, come home and shower, rest for a couple minutes, go back to work, go back to set, come back home, shower, eat. You know, that was my life for a couple months. But when you're a stand-in, nobody's shuttling you anywhere. You're the second unit. You're part of the crew. And you get to mingle and you get to talk to people. And I loved my experience doing that because I got a chance to interact with, you know, some of these people and you know, talk to them and share in some of their experiences. And I think that's really where I started to learn about the filming process. Obviously, I learned a lot from, you know, producing the Ninjas films and producing Your Dead and others. But, you know, that was the building blocks of where I started to learn, you know, piece A goes to piece B, and this is what happens at this time, and this is the person who does that. Oh, that's what a gaffer does, you know, all these different things. So that was where I kind of got the gist of it.
Yeah, yeah. So we're coming up toward the end of the show, so I want you get a little – yeah, oh, no. We're having too much fun. Time passes so quickly when you're having fun. But now –
Well, hey, do we have any other callers that want to jump in real quick?
Let's see. No, I think we might have exhausted our callers. I'll just throw this out there. Anybody listening, you can dial in 347-884-8997. 347-884-8997
See, that's the moment where you realize it's like, yeah, I can't wait to talk to more people who wanted to call in and talk to me, and there's nobody there.
Hey, here's somebody calling in. I see the switchboards are lighting up.
Now
let's see who's going to be embarrassed this time. Area code 817.
Let's do it.
You want to do it? Okay, 817. Wish I had a producer here, but I'm going to bring you on in. All right, here goes nothing. Hello, you're on the air.
Hey.
Who's calling?
This is
Who's
Danielle
on the line?
From Texas.
Danielle,
who's that?
Yeah, Danielle from Texas.
Hey, Danielle
from Texas.
Hey, what's your question?
I'm sorry, I totally just got off work and saw the post.
Okay, no problem. Take your time. We were talking about ninjas and monsters and earthquakes and Fabio and all kind of good stuff. Filmmaking.
So Lady S said to ask questions about Enoch, so you're going to be doing the Enoch TV show?
Yes, I'm going to be playing Nikolov. Who is the bad guy. Although I can't really say he's a bad guy. He's kind of a firm shade of gray. But Nikolov is a very interesting character that I'm excited to play. And it's gonna be so cool playing off of Gareth David Lloyd. I mean, it's Yanto, Torchwood. How cool is that?
It is. I love, I know it's always cliche to love the bad guy because you just have to feel for him. But what do you, what, are you going to take your inspiration straight from that, or are you just going to take some cues from Lady S about it?
You know, it's one of those things that I need to get a chance to really go over the script. I've read the book, and I fell in love with the character that was in the book. And as soon as I get a chance to really see the script and how it's going to play off the other characters, you know, that's when I'm really going to start formulating some of the nuances that I'll bring to the character. But I can tell you right now, I love this character so much, and I know that the fans of the book love this character so much, so no pressure. But it's going to be a really fun experience, and I can't wait for you guys to see this production that Lady S and her team are putting together. It's going to be great. I believe they just signed on a director, Chris Hansen, so I'm going to be really excited to work with this guy and see where it goes. Hopefully fans, you know, like yourself and everyone else will make it big.
That's exciting. Do you know, I guess they probably haven't blocked out how they're going to do the episodes or not. I'm sorry, my cat's about to attack me.
Does your cat want to get on the line?
Wow. It's a dumb call.
I have a question from Mr.
Cat.
Ross.
So have you?
That's an excellent question. I do like Chex Mix. Thank you.
Yes. Have you experienced a lot from the fans over, like, a vast variety of fans from all over the place, or?
I didn't hear the first part of your question.
Have you gotten to know to get to know, like, all the fans from all over the place? Are you going to coming to the conventions with everyone else?
You know, in terms of going to the conventions, that's going to be up to the team. You know, if they'd like to have me, I'm more than willing to come out there and support the project. But, yeah, I've been getting to know the fans really, really well over the past couple of weeks. I don't know what it is. The book is amazing, but Lady S has some ravenous fans who love this property and love this franchise. I mean, she's writing another book right now. As far as I know, the TV miniseries will continue on, and I couldn't be happier to be a part of it. It really takes a strong fandom and, of course, some really strong core material to have this kind of combination happen, and I'm just thrilled about it. I like getting to know people, so I want to meet all these fans. But thank you. Thank you for calling in.
Yeah,
no
thanks
problem.
For calling in, Danielle.
Yeah, no
Thanks
problem.
Thanks for calling. Okay.
Thanks for still
All right.
doing it.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
All right. Yeah, so like I was saying, I wanted to get into, I mean, let's say, man, I'm really impressed with your career and what you've been able to do in a short period of time.
Thanks,
and this
man.
Is kind of a it's kind of a hoagie question, but I guess the best way I can ask the question is, what's been your guiding philosophy as you've built your career? And if you could lay out in a couple of sentences, what's been your philosophy to build, you know, to build something?
My motto, and all my friends know this, my motto is, it's the squeaky wheel that gets the grease. I had been in a position for a very long time where I wasn't getting the opportunities that I wanted. I wasn't living the life that I wanted, and nobody, you know, was giving it to me. And you can't go through life just expecting that someone's going to hand something to you. You have to go out and get it. And in order to get it, you have to be willing to think outside of the box and surround yourself with like-minded individuals, and I've been very fortunate to surround myself with such amazing people. My best friends in the whole wide world, Justin Timpain, Jasmine Guillermo, Devin and Jay Saunders, I have so many, Stephen Backus, Mitch Marvel, who called in, all these people back out east who have supported me from day one. I wouldn't have been able to do what little I feel I've done without their support. And likewise, my parents, my family, my mother and my father have been very supportive of what I've done. My sister, always supportive. You know, I couldn't be more thankful to have that. My dad always said, I want you to be a lawyer. And I told him, you know, hey, I'll play one on TV someday. We can compromise, okay?
I like that.
But, that's my motto. If you want it, go out and get it, and don't let obstacles stand in your way. Don't let laziness or self-doubt prevent you from getting what you want, because those are really the only big obstacles. And if I have an opportunity in my career at any point, it's that I want to give back. I want to usher in the next generation once I've done what I've done and pave the way for, like-minded individuals to see success. I feel so at home when I have an opportunity to introduce someone, to somebody important and make a difference in their lives and foster, that creativity. That fulfills me. So somewhere down the line, I hope I can do more of that. I'm excited that I have a chance kind of with ZCon, for the charitable aspect. This movie, hopefully, we're hoping, is going to raise about $250,000 for those chararities. My Doherty's last film, Brown Coats Redemption, raised $117,000 plus for the charities. So we're looking to do bigger and better this time, and I couldn't be happier to be a part of something like that.
That was just so inspiring. I felt like I was listening to an Oscar speech there. That was really great. That was awesome.
My Oscar speech is, I'd like to thank all the people. No, really, the lollipop. I'd like to thank you.
That was powerful, Daniel. Okay, so let's wrap up, man. Let's talk about how fans can keep up with you, man.
You know what? If anybody would like to keep up with me, I'm freely available on Facebook. I have a fan page on there that you can like and, send me a message, and I'd love to have a conversation with you. You can see trailers on YouTube for pretty much all of my projects. I just released a cool little demo reel that showcases some of my recent work. And, stay tuned to Inside Acting with Mr. Powell here, and, he'll keep you updated. And, just thank you for following me and listening to, what I have to say and enjoying whatever, work I do on and off screen. I appreciate it so much, and I hope I can entertain you more and for years to come. I think that would be great. I want to entertain you so hard.
Agreed. Okay. Well, Daniel, thanks for coming on the show, and keep knocking them dead, man.
I will do my best to make you guys proud. And if anybody who called in didn't get a chance to talk, please find me on Facebook, and let's pick up the conversation. I'd love to hear from you.
Absolutely. Okay, man. Well, you have a great night.
Thanks so much, William. Take care, everybody. Love you, DC.
You as well. All right. Bye-bye. And let me leave you with this quote, dear listeners, from Abe Lincoln. My policy is to have no policy. Night.